to sell me tax bits, so I am really wired this month.
January 23rd, we have Representatives Foster, Hudson, Cabina, Lehman, and Mackey. And today we've got a work session overview by DOT on the statewide transportation plan and a dedicated fund. We've got one person here on the sign-up sheet, Clyde Stolfus with DOT. If we could have Clyde up here. Appreciate you coming today, Clyde.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought the commissioner would be here. Unfortunately, I guess he's tied up in a meeting.
Cabinet meeting, yeah.
Yeah, he said he was going to be a little bit later.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today to present to you the State Transportation Policy Plan. As you know, in April of 30th of last year, I came in and gave you an overview of the process we went through to develop the State Transportation Plan, so I'm not going to go into the process any further today. However, we do have these books available, which describe in detail the process of how we arrived at the issues we identified as the priority issues for the State Transportation Plan. And I'd be glad to make those available to either your staff or you at any time if you'd like to see them. Our focus with this plan is on responsible management and planning. We believe it makes sense for responsible managers to prepare for changes that reasonably can be foreseen in the future. Few would dispute that Alaska faces unique challenges in the years ahead. One would have to be almost a total recluse to be ignorant of the predictions of pending downturn in state revenue. Although we all may cling to a hope that these predictions will not come true, we believe that it is our responsibility and duty to offer solutions for the area that we have responsibility for. In fact, given the mission of this department, I think a good case could be made that we would be irresponsible if we didn't raise these issues knowing what we know today. Transportation is too important to our society and economic well-being to ignore some of these fundamental issues in face of the continual uncertainties we face. The solutions we have outlined in our policy plan are far-reaching. They will involve commitment and cooperation from many interests and certainly including everyone here in this room. We believe these solutions to be reasonable, sensible, and responsible. That doesn't mean that we don't expect resistance to our suggested changes. Rather, I think it does mean that we are resolved to carry our message forward, but that we care about the negative effects and hardships these actions may cause and have designed our process to allow these concerns to help us shape our final actions. On page 3 of the plan, we give the main policy issues we set out to resolve. I'm not going to go through the plan issue by issue. It can be done by reading the plan as it is written. Rather, I'd like to have this discussion today in terms of the solutions we've suggested. Now, I'll note for you that the solutions that I'm going to capsulize are laid out in detail in Chapter 5. And it's called a Management Action Plan for the Transportation System. And I'm going to start today with our highest legislative priority for this year. That is receiving the consent of the legislature to put a constitutional amendment before the voters this fall to dedicate a transportation fund. Now, I know all of you are well familiar with this topic. You have sponsored SJR 19 and passed it out of committee. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going on the details of the dedicated fund. We can discuss that later. But there are some basic rationales that I'd like to lay out just so I think ones that we've learned mainly through this planning process that I think help us understand this issue a little bit better. These are very simple principles, but ones that are important to understand. We all use the transportation system every day in our daily activities. We drive to work, we go to school, we go to the grocery store. We all use the system. We should all pay for what we use, and we should pay as we go. Fees should be based on the use that we occasion. On an equity and fairness principle, people who pay fees based on use have a right to demand that the fees they pay go for what they're being charged for, that is, for the use that they are occasioning. In Alaska, the only way to assure that these fees go to a specific purpose is to amend the Constitution so that they are dedicated. Based on our planning process, we have specific ideas on how a dedicated fund should look, how it should be structured, user fees that should be dedicated, permissible uses, and modal distinctions we believe make sense. These are very detailed discussions that we would like to continue at a later date. In the plan, we talk about developing a balanced and sustainable transportation system. The sustainability side of that admittedly bureaucratic statement is cured by the dedicated fund I just discussed. Dedicated funding provides stability to provide a sustainable level of maintenance services over time. That is the sustainability part of our system equation. The system equation is in the first paragraph of the commissioner's letter, and it reads as follows. We believe moving toward a mature, productive economy requires the development of a balanced and sustainable transportation system. Now I want to talk a little bit about the balancing side of our system equation. In developing this plan, we paid close attention to the national debate on the relationship between infrastructure and infrastructure development and economic productivity. Although the empirical data is still being developed to correlate this relationship, enough is known to say that there is a relationship and that this relationship is very strong. Because Alaska is a young economy and a developing state, we believe this knowledge is especially important to Alaska. What these national studies are showing is that if you want to improve productivity of an economy, you develop infrastructure. That is, infrastructure development is the engine of productivity in an economy. Now notice we're still talking infrastructure, of which transportation infrastructure is only one part. But interestingly enough, several recent studies have shown that transportation infrastructure is the part of all infrastructure that most directly equates to increased productivity in an economy. So building transportation infrastructure has a direct relationship to the productivity of our economy. So what does this have to do with our system equation? Well, let's think what a transportation agency does. And we can follow this on page 15. A transportation agency has two basic functions. One, we manage capital assets. That is, we fill potholes, we plow roads and airports. We do other similar activities in the marine highway system and the aviation system. That is managing our capital assets. The second basic function that we do is we ensure that the system is capable of meeting society's future needs. We build roads, we build docks, and we build airports. This is developing infrastructure. This is what these national studies are saying is directly correlated to economic productivity. Now, we're not trying to give the impression that our most important role is to carry out this second function, this development of infrastructure, because that's just not true. Transportation professionals have studied and approved many times over a number of years what we all know intuitively. Poor roads are expensive to drive on. We know that and also know that managing capital assets has some predictable expenditures associated with it. If flat doesn't make sense to defer maintenance, it is very expensive both to the user and to managing it. So both the functions of a transportation agency are important. And that is why the commissioner has said, we believe moving toward a productive, mature, productive economy requires the development of a balanced and sustainable transportation system. We need to balance these two major functions. We need to maintain and we need to build. Both are important and neither should be ignored. Our initiative, starting on page 27, addressed both. There is one other major policy recommendation in the plan that requires some discussion. You've all heard it before, but with the development of the state transportation plan, we've refined and learned more and now have, we believe, a very reasonable and sensible proposal. This is the chapter 4 of the plan on page 21, which is titled, What is the Appropriate Transportation Responsibility for Each Level of Government? This is just one that makes good common sense. As the commissioner says in his letter, it only makes sense to have local transportation decisions made by local officials and to have responsibility accepted equally. Local officials recognize this also. This issue is not fought over. It makes good sense. What has been a problem is the complaint. complexity of the issue and the funding to carry out the purposes we're describing. We offer two simple solutions that we think are reasonable and sensible. One, we think some of the dedicated revenue should go to fund local facilities. And two, we think the complexity of the issue requires direct hands-on decision-making at a very low system level. We're suggesting at a maintenance camp level, but it could be at a different level. That means we are willing to sit down with the appropriate local government officials and on a case-by-case basis determine what responsibility makes sense at a very specific level. We are convinced that's the only way we'll make sense of this mess. Now, there is more in the plan that I've just described. And I could, I've been known to talk for hours on this plan, so I'm not going to get wound up. I'll stop and we can discuss it in a dialogue fashion if that's what this committee wants. Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it up to you. But thank you very much for the opportunity and for your attention. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. You've certainly done a considerable amount of work. Do we have any questions from the committee? Comments? Ideas? Representative Tobina?
On the constitutional amendment, how much money do we get in taxes right now? About round?
We get about 62 million dollars.
We get in $62 million on
right.
Fuel taxes.
Fuel taxes? No, that's more than fuel taxes. That's fuel taxes and facilities in the aviation side. That's land leases and things like that. And also on the highway side, it includes licensing fees, registration fees.
How about fuel taxes alone? Excuse me.
Fuel taxes alone. I don't have them totaled. I can give you for each one of the categories, if that would be acceptable.
How about 1 cent per gallon?
I'm sorry? 1 cent per gallon on the highway side?
Yes, 10%. You're asking 10 cents on the gallon increase. What would that bring?
Let's see. That would 10 cents a gallon would bring you an additional $22 million.
So even with that increase, obviously, we still spend more than that.
It depends on what you put in your dedicated fund. It depends on what you add into the equation.
We still spend more than that much money on maintenance.
Not maintenance alone.
No. In other words, we'll make money.
Well, no, I wouldn't say we'd make money. I think that you have to think about what you're going to put into it before you say you're going to actually come out with a surplus. I don't think you're going to be able to restrict it just to M&O issues alone.
Well, I guess I'm getting at the point of when you change the Constitution, the more I'm here, the more I realize sometimes that Constitution runs into problems. You want to do something a little different because of problems you're having, and the Constitution a lot of times restricts you from doing that, working on election problems that we have right now for primaries. And I guess I'm just thinking, if you have so much money coming in, you need a constitutional amendment because the department believes that the legislature will take that money and spend it someplace else? Or it's my feeling that the legislature's usually been pretty good about when there's a fund that says, you know, the legislature may appropriate for that. Normally, that money is appropriated for that. And really, it's not that often unless there's excess that it's not appropriated for that.
I think the problem really gets down to whether or not user fees can be increased to a level that would sustain the system. I think you have difficulty passing increases in user fees without having a direct correlation to where they're going. That's been our experience in the past, and I would submit that it would probably be the same problem in the future.
But you guys have withdrawn your idea about having the gas tax increase this year, correct?
That's correct. We're more concerned with getting the dedicated fund in place before we worry about the revenue side.
Yeah, Hudson and then Mackey.
I'm almost done, Mr. Chairman. I guess that brings up the point. I mean, people are saying we're going to have a dedicated transportation tax. You sure ought to have something dedicated to education and then somebody else says you have something else. So that question keeps coming in my mind. The other one is...
May I address that?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a distinction between education. I'm not trying to say that transportation is more important than education, but I think the real distinction between it... I think the real distinction between transportation and education in this particular setting is that you have an identifiable revenue stream that can and is associated with the services you're receiving, that can and should cover the cost of the service. Whereas in education, I don't think you can make that statement. And I think that's why transportation makes so much sense as compared to other areas of government.
And one other point, on the local part, taking over part of this, you know, I can probably see that in some place like Anchorage, where here's this big old town and you've got Anchorage doing certain streets, and then the state has their equipment over on this side and they need to do a road over here, so they pass over big areas. But most of the state is not like that. And most of the times, whenever the state gives something to the communities, veterans preference, senior citizens rebate on your housing, what they expect they're going to get on revenue sharing, it is often decreased. Why would a local community, a smaller local community that has a state facility, have any real desire to take that over when their thoughts are going to be that you may tell me you're going to pay for it all today, but I know darn well that down the road, as costs go up, you're not going to continue to increase your payment to that community to pay for those. And I guess when people in my community ask me, should we do this? Should we make a deal with the state? I say, look at past history, because they never pay you for the full cost of everything that you've taken on in other programs.
Well, through the chair, first of all, I think that's one of the reasons that we think it's important to form a working group and to work through these issues at local level. In some places, I think that the whole department would agree that it just doesn't make sense for the local community to take over the responsibility. But in some cases, as you've indicated, it does make sense to do that. I think that the difference between the proposals that have been proposed before is that we think that some of the dedicated revenue should go toward paying for these local facilities. And I think that is an answer to your question of whether or not the state is going to actually pay in the future for the roads that they transfer over. I think that's the only solution. I mean, if you get it into the dedicated fund, just like the state is into the dedicated fund, then it's not an issue. But I think from the standpoint now...
Are you suggesting that language is in the Constitution that says that the local communities are going to be paid the full cost of maintaining
no.
those state roads?
No, and that should even be an option, because there are also values that the local communities receive from those roads. Those roads have value to the local communities, and they should be willing to accept some of that value in exchange for the responsibility. I think that local communities should have a real stake in the decisions that are made at the local level on those transportation systems, land use issues, those kinds of issues. They're better equipped to deal with those issues. I'm not suggesting that local communities are necessarily going to endorse that 100%. I think from the standpoint of managing the entire system, it just makes sense.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right, I haven't had a chance to digest all of this. I just got it the other night. I took it home the other evening, and my eyes gave out on me before I get all the way through it. But just getting to this constitutional change for a dedicated fund is probably going to be difficult to get most of us to agree upon, simply because we're, at least I can speak for myself, I can't speak for everybody else, but dedicating funds means that you're setting those funds in stone for the future, and there's no chance to, say, make differentiated changes in future years if something else pops up as a higher priority. And on the other hand, even though we've got the highest price of fuel in the world here in Juneau, out of the world, but
certainly it is
really high here. You know, gasoline tax is going to be hard to sell, but you know, I can see where maybe an indicated use of some increased fuel taxes and even on a seasonal basis? Have you thought about that, just putting it on in the summertime and rolling it back in the wintertime so that the heavy use, which is the heavy wear and tear on the highways, pays for the added cost, which would bring a lot of the over-the-road tourism into the tax mode, but would give the Alaskans, whose cost of living is already too high, some sort of relief during the wintertime. Have you thought about that?
This really gets into implementing legislation. And that's one of the points that I wanted to make about your previous comment, is that there is some flexibility. You create a dedicated fund, but the legislature still appropriates. There's not, it doesn't go directly to the department. The legislature still makes a decision about what happens to that money.
Yeah, but you can't put it into education.
You can't put it into education. That's true. But then, again, transportation would not be vying against education in the general fund. So you would be supporting your transportation part of your budget with your user fees. And
I smile because I disagree with you. I think that every dollar is going to be competing against, I mean, every use of dollar is going to be competing against each other when the revenues really are on the decline. I honestly believe that. I think we're going to have a hard time finding sufficient funds to satisfy even the educational community, the basic education needs, for example, and many of the social programs. All of these things are priorities, and so you're absolutely right on to get this issue out in front and start the debate and dialogue now. I ask if you had thought about perhaps increasing the fuel tax with an indication in the legislature, as long as we felt as though that was the overall best use of the funds, we'd likely continue to put it into transportation. And if you had thought about it on a seasonal basis, if you haven't, I'd like to have you think about that. The other thing is that we are getting this extra 46% or whatever it is of federal funds over the next number of years here, another $50 million this year. So we have some unique window of opportunities for the next few years that we didn't even realize we were going to have. It's another windfall of sorts, but it can only be used for transportation. Can it be used for maintenance?
It can be used for, and this is an issue that's still being debated at the federal level and here at the state level. But I think that it's fair to characterize that it can be used for some activities that we currently fund under maintenance. But in the general understanding of maintenance, no, it can't. It's still a capital appropriation.
I see. Well, those are my two questions. I'll
refer to that. Representative Mackey.
Yeah, I share some of the same concerns as my colleagues, and I would suggest if you were going to try to get a dedicated fund initiative passed by the legislature this year, I'd suggest that you have a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. I guess I'm open to the issue, but I share some of the same concerns as my colleagues do as to how much that would restrict the legislature from its responsibility of appropriating funds and so forth. One thing that concerns me also, as Representative Cabina pointed out, was turning over roads to municipalities. Are you talking about a voluntary thing where communities would be willing to take them on, or are you talking about a mandate or whatever? I don't know if you've ever lived in a small community like the ones I represent, about 21 of them throughout Southeast, and where we do have state maintenance crews, believe me, they do an excellent job. I think that everybody is real happy with the service that's being provided by the state. Of course, you always need more road graders and you always need more personnel, but I think with the amount of money that we have available to us for that region, they are doing a good job. And the ability of small municipalities like that to assume responsibility for those roads could prove to just not work. And I'm wondering if some of these cluster roads or other roads are going to be dumped on these communities and then them not have the ability to be able to maintain them. So that would be my concern. And rather than spend a lot of time debating that issue or having you answer those questions, perhaps you could have someone send me an analysis of my region of what's being considered and what roads you're exactly talking about. I was going to say something bad about the dedicated fund, but since the commissioner came in, I'll just bite my tongue. No, actually, I did tell the commissioner I would discuss it with him. And there's a lot of merit to it, but I think, a good example of an uphill battle that you might be faced with was a few years ago when a previous governor proposed a dedicated fund for education, and education is pretty important, I think, to people in the state, too, and that hit a roadblock with the legislature. So I'm suggesting it be an uphill battle, like to see this plan the way it's laid out, though. It'll be helpful in coming up with questions that I may have in the future.
May I make a comment about your last statement, comparing it to the educational endowment, which is very different than a dedicated fund. An endowment means that you put money into a fund and you live off of that, off of the income of that money that you're putting into the fund. A dedication is looking at user fees and taking those user fees and directing them back to the use that they came from. So it's a different concept, though I understand what you're saying.
Sure. I can understand that. I've seen what happened with the ferry system when they're able to direct those funds into the ferry system and actually track them and attribute them to the $35 million of revenues in the ferry system. Looks real good when you have a $70 million budget versus $35 million going directly in the general fund and having to ask the legislature for $70 million. So I can understand some of that, but I think just the words dedicated fund sends up a red flag in a lot of people's mind right off the bat. And I think that you can see with a lot of problems that the governor and other people are having in cutting the budget, there's so many pass-throughs and things that are mandated and so forth that there's the legislature's control is somewhat limited already. And I think that I'm not saying I'm against it or for it. I'm just saying that there's a lot of work that needs to be done if you truly believe that you have a chance of having this type of a priority addressed seriously by the legislature. So,
appreciate
that.
Okay. Representative Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple areas. I just want to follow up on a line that Representative Covino was started on. I think I've discussed this with Commissioner Turpin, but the success of implementation of this plan, at least as you've laid it out, in my mind really isn't so much the dedicated fund as it is the second part, which is the increase in the tax so we can have the revenue so we can do the things that need to be done. And the success of that depends on, at least in your thinking, dedicated fund so we can convince the public that there's a direct tie, because I think most people, and they, by the way, and I'll share the results with you when they're in, we did some polling, our annual legislative questionnaire to people and saying, would you support this if the funds come in and apply it and go directly to maintenance of the facilities as well. And I think people generally will agree with that. They complain about roads, they're willing to pay for it if they know that that money that they're paying is going directly to pay it. They do the same thing with education. They'll say, well, if it's going into the classroom, it's going to pay for new books for my son or my daughter, then I'm willing to do it. But they don't like to pay for your building down here in Juneau or something like that. But anyway, so I've been thinking that through, and just, I guess I'd like, I don't know if I want to pursue it anymore because you probably responded to about as well as you can, but maybe the two are so linked that while you're pushing for one now, in reality it's not going to be a success or a completion until we get the other part, which is the increase in the tax and increased revenue.
I agree with your analysis.
Okay.
May
go
I
ahead,
speak, Mr. Chairman. The only area that is not that way is the marine fuel. Now, today, that would help us a lot if we had marine fuel dedicated to ports and harbors, because the tax income is more than we have spent in maintenance. Now, we would like to separate these two issues. I mean, if we want to raise taxes, that's a different issue than whether or not we have a dedicated fund. In my mind, the dedicated fund is very similar to the tuition at the university. It goes to the university. This is funds that are generated by that entity. And gasoline tax is the same thing for a highway. It is generated by the users of the highway. It's not something that everybody in the state pays, whether they use the highway or not.
Yeah, well, it makes sense to me. It's the whole, if I can continue, Mr. Chairman, the concept of user fees, and from a philosophical standpoint, it makes a whole lot of sense. The other line is one that, as I read through here, and I read some of the historical aspects of, we had a dedicated fund back in up to 1961. And the question I have, maybe you've looked at it, is if the legislature can, by statute, undedicate, why does it take a constitutional amendment for us to go back in and dedicate? And I just wondered if I falling through that, but apparently
there was
an exemption, and the legislature removed it, and we can't place it back in by statute.
That's correct. What occurred, if I may, Mr. Chairman, if you read the Constitution, the dedicated fund portion of the Constitution, you'll see a clause in there that says, except for the continuance of funds in existence at the time.
Right, okay,
what happened was that the dedication at the time was a statutory dedication. And so after the Constitution was ratified, then the legislature came back in and changed the statute to make it a permissive statute rather than a dedicated fund statute. And so that's how we are today. But it is an important point, and I'm glad you raised it. It is an important point to note that it's true Alaska is a state that has a general prohibition against dedicated fund. It's also true that the reason that is there is because they wanted to have ultimate flexibility for the legislature. But it is also true that the same people that came up with that line of reasoning realized that dedicated funding for transportation makes sense. And of all the dedicated funds that existed prior to statehood, they only brought over the one related to raw fish tax and the one related to transportation. So those two exceptions were the two exceptions that they thought should be in the Constitution.
Representative Hudson,
thank you. Mr. You weren't here when we had this little discussion earlier here, but if you were going to dedicate this thing, and if we were concerned about some future legislator wanting to have greater flexibility with the use of funds, isn't it possible that you could write up a constitutional dedication subject to, say, two-thirds or three-fourths of the legislature's approval, or that the two-thirds or three-fourths of the legislature could modify that? We were talking about this whole subsistence thing last year. How you word things in the Constitution determines how they're implemented and how effective they are in the future. Most of us, at any rate, I think, are just frightened of dedicated funds as we normally think of them. They're sort of locked into one specific use, and as the revenues are diminished, we're fearful that we may not have full flexibility in our representational roles of using those monies. Is that something you've thought about?
Mr. Chairman, I still come back to the tuition at the university. That's all we're talking about. The tuition on our highways we feel should be dedicated. I mean, I'm not talking about taking tax money, general fund tax money.
You're talking about taking a revenue
source. I'm talking about the revenue source, and dedicating that revenue source to the users who pay that revenue source. And I keep coming back to tuition because that's a clear-cut case to.
Of course, the university is really a separate arm and branch altogether, whereas transportation is a public responsibility, a departmental responsibility.
Well, one closer to your heart, the Marine Highway System revenues go in now into the Marine Highway System.
In an indicated measure, not a dedicated measure. The legislature said you can use these, but in the future, another legislator could come along and say,
That's right. Cannot
use them all. You've got to cut it down to just whatever whatever we give you.
Which is why we want the Constitution.
I understand. I understand why you want it, and I can understand that if I were Commissioner of Transportation, I'd really want to.
Representative Mack.
Yeah, I was just going to say that your responsibility, Commissioner, is to look out for the future of transportation needs in the state. And again, like Representative Hudson, I guess if I were Commissioner, I would probably look at that as a very viable option also. However, when you have big ticket items like education to the tune of $700 million a year and other things, those of us that are going to be around here possibly in another 10 years or so having to deal with the budget deficits are going to be asking ourselves, how are we going to pay for things like that, and longevity bonuses and all these other things that people have grown to be sort of accustomed to. So I think it's just the idea of a dedicated fund, regardless of what it is somewhat scary to legislators, but I'm sure we'll deal with that. I had a question on page 45 of your report, fiscal year 94, projected revenue flow, the chart there.
Mm-hmm.
Are these what's anticipated under the present tax structure that we have now?
And
these are funds that will figure it on coming in?
It's national average.
If there was a gas tax increase.
At a national average.
Okay, so.
Which is about 18%.
18 cents.
And all of these would be involved in this dedicated fund?
That's correct.
Okay. I thought, I was under the understanding that we're not talking about marine fuels being part of this dedicated fund. That we're only talking about highway gasoline, highway taxes.
No.
But we're talking about aviation fuel, marine fuel, everything goes into this one fund, dedicated fund. And
be a fund for each.
So we'll have three dedicated funds. And are we going to have three separate funds approved by the voters?
No.
No. Or a dedicated fund with three components?
It's actually separated out into the different modes.
So, all marine fuels would be in a fund to do maintenance and repair to harbors. Aviation gas taxes are for airports and... And these are projected based on what you're anticipating the Alaskan consumption will be in those three areas in 94, provided that we approve a gas tax increase to meet the national average of gas taxes, right?
The amount of gallonage used in these calculations were based on the FY90 gallons. We did not increase the gallonage in this calculation.
But you are anticipating a gas tax increase to the national average is figured into these projections.
Correct.
So, I just wondered how far out on a limb you've gone to project some of these revenues, not knowing whether a gas tax would be approved or whatever. I was wondering if those revenues would be either increased or decreased depending on what happened with the gas tax issue itself.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioner, did you want to add anything?
No, sir. That's fine. I just shudder about the political implications of raising gasoline tax to pay for longevity bonuses or something like that.
No, I wasn't implying that. I was implying that, from your standpoint in transportation, this makes a whole lot of sense. I'm just curious how we're going to pay for a lot of things in the future. I'm not having the ability if we start dedicating everything, but I could be convinced by some time.
On that subject, though, Commissioner, we passed this fuel tax on marine fuels here some time back, and it was clearly stipulated by the legislature. It was supposed to go into ports and harbors and things of this nature. And I know one of the first things I got when I got in the legislature here was a petition from the Port Association that, hey, listen, they've reneged on that every year since the first 2 years. They only actually put the money into ports and harbors first 2 years, and ever since then, they've been using it on longevity bonuses and all these other types of things. So your idea of dedicating taxes, maybe it's beginning to make a little sense.
I wonder if AGC or the air carriers have any ideas, any comments right now, as long as you're here.
The truckers support it. That's a pretty good test.
Okay.
And I think air carriers.
Air carriers are going to discuss it, I think, probably next week.
Yeah, Rick, the president of the association will be in later this morning. He'll be at the Senate hearing this afternoon. He couldn't make it for this morning.
That has been discussed with air carriers.
Truckers and air carriers.
How about the Arctic Snowmobilers Association?
Yeah. Okay, well, do we have any other comments here from the committee or anybody in the audience?
I have a general comment since the commissioner's here. Is that, commissioner, I've been involved in transportation in one form or another ever since I've been in Alaska. And I want to compliment you on this, quite frankly. I know you expected just the opposite, but no, I want to compliment you because I thought you'd
comment on the grade on that railroad. On that.
Yeah.
Well, that was my second. I think that the administration and yourself particularly are really beginning to think about the economic spinoff of highways and transportation. And as I wrote down up in here, as I was looking at all this transportation, jobs. That's the biggest concern for the future of the state of Alaska as I see it. Every little tiny job is going to be important, I think, particularly as oil declines. And I think reliable and affordable transportation into any and every community and reduction of cost of living, any way in which we can use our transportation dollar today to reduce the cost of living. If we can punch a road into Juneau and and bring natural gas into Juneau and decrease the home heating costs. That's economic. It reduces the cost of living, and it means money that can be out there to buy more things at Fred Meyer.
I was just going to ask, Commissioner, did you have anything to do with this selection of this cover for the... I do see a ferry, though. So
airplane.
Yeah, there's a...
A ferry is pretty much up by the bow, which means it doesn't have too big a load.
Well, I can see our discussion is kind of degenerating here. Okay, no other comments? Any suggestions? Ideas? I appreciate the commissioner coming here today. I know you've done a lot of work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll go ahead and adjourn at 9:20. And the next thing we do here is next Tuesday, HB 402, we're naming a bridge, and HJR 60, expanding the Space Museum. So,
naming a bridge.
Welcome to that.
Yes.